This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Celebrating Marriage.
So many of the critical institutions that have helped make America what America is, not just America, but some of the institutions that have bound people together through eons, for millennia, in our country at our time are just falling apart. I say none more so than marriage. A recent census said this, 43% of marriages break up within 15 years. Traditional families, husbands, wife, and children, constitute less than one-fourth of households today. Talk about crisis. Talk about a crisis with long fingers that can destroy a country, destroy lives. The destruction of marriage will do that. We'll feel it in every sector of our country, and we're feeling it, the importance of marriage. The scripture tells us that human history began with a marriage. Let's stand together for Genesis 2, verses 18, and then 21 to 24, and let's read together about the first marriage. Genesis 2, 18, 21 to 24, as we reverence God's word. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God hath taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and they shall be one flesh. Thank you. You may be seated. One flesh. Together, two become one. But not only did history begin with a marriage, but I submit to you that history is going to end with a marriage. Listen to the words of Revelation 19, 7 and 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife had made herself ready. And verse 9 says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be there. Amen. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the second thing God's going to do after you stand before him in judgment is he's going to have a big meal. Don't worry about calories. It's all going to be angel food. It's going to be great. You're going to be blessed. Take my word for it. It begins with a marriage, and history ends with a marriage. And remember, the first miracle that Jesus ever did was at a wedding. Elevating the importance of what it means to have a husband and wife become one in him, one in the flesh. From Genesis to Revelation, God is not just a spectator in marriage. He and these events, he's the one that institutes them. He's the one that triggers those events. In God's economy, the natural extension of human love between a man and a woman is marriage. Amen? Not some other experiment. Not the latest philosophical approach to living. Genesis 2:24, that in the marriage, a man and a woman should become one flesh. They're regarded by the Creator as a single organism. That's a special connection, a special relationship. C.S. Lewis, in Mere Christianity, writes this, God was not expressing a sentiment, but stating a fact. Just as one is stating a fact when one says that a lock and its key are one mechanism, or that a violin and the bow are one musical instrument. In effect, God was expressing a geometric law and applying it to human love and marriage. The whole is equal to the sum of its parts. Husband and wife need each other. They complement each other. They supplement each other. Where you're strong, she's weak. Where you're weak, she's strong. A husband and a wife are two halves of the same unit, a whole. There can be no us without you and me, and no you and me without us. Real love exists inside marriage because real love, lasting love, forever love, comes as a slow-growing process born out of two lives bound together in unity of life and purpose. No other institution can create that unity. Real love is not a flash in the pan or a one-night stand or just an explosion of emotion. It is love brewed in the slow cooker of life with measured amounts of joy and tears, anger, disappointment, hope and dreams, failure and success. It all comes together to make you who you are together. Makes you stronger or it pulls you apart. The answer to how it happens is up to you. Is it reasonable to expect a loving marriage to last a lifetime? That's what we hear today. Well, that's not possible. In this church, we have people who have been married more than 40 years, more than 50 years, more than 60 years. Must be possible for somebody. If it's possible for one couple to do it, it's got to be possible for other couples to do it. What's the difference? Let's try to explore that this morning. Romantic love is the starting point. But to make a marriage last a lifetime, to make it to that finish line, a marriage must be strengthened and complemented by some other ingredients. And I'd like to share five of those ingredients of a lasting marriage. Number one, Christ must be at the center of your marriage. He wants to be in your marriage, at your marriage table, and not just at your wedding. That seems to be what happens. I've conducted many, 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 many weddings. He's invited to the wedding, but is he invited to the marriage? If he's not at the marriage, it's not going to be all that it can possibly be. There's so much more in a marriage where Christ is at the center. He says this in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If Christ is on the throne of each spouse's heart, he will be at the center of their marriage. This takes two. This is why God tells you in the scripture, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Start out with somebody who knows Jesus and work from there. Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together except they be agreed? It's real difficult when you agree and the spouse doesn't agree about Jesus. I mean, too many marriages break up because of that. They break up over finances. They break up over issues. They break up over problems. All of which can be resolved and dealt with, especially when Christ is at the center. Your marriage is its strongest when you both are moving in the same direction, praying together, attending church together, growing in your faith together. Number two, commitment is critical to a lasting marriage. You remember those words, for better or worse, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, until what? Until death do us part. Luke 9:62 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Marriage is a commitment. It's a decision to do all one can to express love for their spouse. Associated Press reports, many people enter a cohabitating relationship where the deal is, quote, if it doesn't work out, we can just split up. And it's no big loss because we don't have a legal commitment. You have a commitment to God. You have a commitment to one another. You made a promise. Marriage may be made in heaven, but we are responsible for the maintenance work. We are responsible for the heavy lifting. We're responsible to do what it takes to make a marriage work. Number three, love, respect, and trust are keys to a lasting marriage. Ephesians 5:33 says this, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Popular culture doesn't want to hear those words from that verse. doesn't want to buy into it, that there is a mutuality to the relationship of marriage between a husband and a wife. In a woman's DNA, it is programmed by God that she need to know that her husband loves her. That's a basic need. We all have that need. But there's something inside a woman that needs to know she's loved. And programmed into a husband by God is the need to know that he is respected by her as a man. Not ridiculed, but respected. Love and respect. Both a husband and wife need to hear and see the things that are loved, that they are loved and trusted, respected, cherished, and honored. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we take these principles and promises of Scripture and turn them into the real deal in our lives? How do we get the mechanisms to work together so that we can actually see love and respect being lived out? There's one book in the 66 books of the Bible that God devoted to that kind of love, a love between a husband and a wife. Anybody know what that book is? It's the Song of Solomon. It's only one of two books in which God is not mentioned. Anybody know what the other one is? Esther. Those two books, God's not mentioned. But God thinks enough and cares enough in his economy about marriage to devote a book dedicated to how to care and how to love that person whom you have promised to love for a lifetime. Here are six ingredients that I've gleaned out of the Song of Solomon for you. Number one, tell each other frequently, I love you. Listen to the words of Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Now, the words may sound, they don't fit in our heads, but think about it. This was written 3,000 years ago. Here's how he is telling his loved one that he loves her. Set me as a seal upon thy heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Turned into poetry. Love expressed in such a way that it's poetry, it's music. I love you more than death. My love for you is stronger than the emotions one would feel around death. And my love is so strong that even if something could flood it over, it couldn't drown it. Now, you may not say that to your husband and wife tonight, but something along those lines, maybe. Number two, express your love physically. Hold hands, hug, be tender one to another. Listen to what it's written in Song of Solomon 8:3. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. Too many people have no human contact. Human contact is vital to our happiness and our health. As I've told you on a number of occasions, when I was a chaplain at Hagedorn Hospital, God told me part of my ministry was hugging the patients. And on more than one occasion, someone would say to me, as one person said to me, the first time I ever asked the Lord, is hugging part of my ministry here? The woman walked in, and I gave her a hug, and she confessed at the end of it to everybody, "You hugged me, Reverend, and nobody's hugged me in 12 years. If anybody needs a hug in your life, if you're married, it's the person you love, your spouse. Number three, verbalize your appreciation and admiration for each other. Say it. Listen to how Song of Solomon 1:5 says, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." You're beautiful. You're my idea of handsome. I look up to you. I appreciate and respect you. What about those words? Sometimes we forget that the people we love the most need those words. Words are powerful. But too many times it becomes a fight. Too many times it becomes denigrating expressions. This is what we see in TV commercials today. You know, one person looks like the hero, the other one looks like a dunce. The other one can do everything, the other one can't do anything. What's the commercial world trying to tell us? Number four, share your thoughts and feelings honestly and openly. This is difficult for men. I'll admit to it. Song of Solomon 1:7. Tell me, O thou, whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. In effect, what she's saying, tell me your secrets. Tell me your inner thoughts. Tell me where you go and what you do. Open yourself up to me. Be vulnerable. Let me hear the things that are in your heart. I'm not a mind reader. I can't guess what you're thinking. I can't guess or imagine how you're feeling. Don't tell me after the fact. Tell me before the fact. Let me know what words of love are meaningful to you. Let me know what acts of love are meaningful to you. Give me a hint. I'm a guy. Number 5, do the little things that encourage your spouse. Chapter 2, verse 4, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Just little things. Don't have to be big things. What are the little things that are your language of love? And by the way, I would think it's fair to say that these things can be used for any relationship you have. But it majors in marriage. And number 6, take time to be alone with each other, to talk and to listen. It's a very busy world. You can be on your iPhone, you can be on some other device, and you can be trapped there for hours upon hours and hours. I mean, I've seen it too many times now for it to just be a coincidence. A husband and a wife or a couple of some sort sitting at the table at a restaurant, and he's on what he's looking at and she's on what she's looking, and there's no communication going on there. Communication is vital to your relationship. Take time to be alone with each other and talk and listen. Number 4, laugh a lot, overlook a lot. Laugh a lot, overlook a lot. That's one thing I am so thrilled with this congregation. We can laugh together, amen? Don't be mad. Laugh a lot and overlook a lot. Proverbs 15:15, he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Just be happy. You know, I've told you the Yiddish expression, a fabisna punim, having a long face. How'd you like to wake up to see that every day? Oy vey, what a mess. Attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, why is the bride dressed in white? Because white is the color of happiness, mother explained, and today is the happiest day of her life. The little girl thought for a moment and asked, so why is the groom dressed in black? One morning, a woman said to her husband, I bet you don't know what today is. And he looked at her indignantly. What do you mean? I know what today is. And he went out to work. 11 o'clock, the doorbell rang, and the wife answered. And a man was standing there, and he handed her a box with a dozen long-stem red roses. 1 o'clock, a foil-wrapped box of her favorite chocolates arrived. Later in the afternoon, a boutique designer arrived with a designer dress. The woman couldn't wait for her husband to walk through that door. Oh, yes. There it came. She heard the car door come up the stairs. She opened the door, and she said to him, this is the best Groundhog's Day I've ever had. A new husband came home one evening to find his wife in tears. You know the dinner I cooked for you tonight? The dog ate it. And he said, don't worry about it, sweetheart. We can get another dog. Laugh a lot. That's for laughing. This is for overlooking, from the Reader's Digest. On her golden wedding anniversary, 50, my grandmother writes, Roderick McFarlane, she revealed the secret of her long and happy marriage. On my wedding day, I decided to choose 10 of my husband's faults, which, for the sake of our marriage, I would overlook. A guest asked her to name some of the faults. To tell you the truth, she replied, I never did get around to listing them, but whatever my husband did something that made me hopping mad, I would say to myself, lucky for him, that's one of the 10. Number five, remember, a Christian husband and a Christian wife will spend eternity together. Talking about the long haul, aren't we? Not just here. In heaven, we'll be together not as husband and wife, but as eternal friends. As a new widow inscribed just four words on her husband's tombstone, until we meet again. How can we celebrate marriage? By being kind, affectionate, considerate, communicating, harmony, respect, and with Christ in our hearts and at the center of our marriage. And now what I'd like to do is ask those of you who would like to renew your vows, please stand. And if somebody could find my wife, that would be great. You want to come up forward? Let's do this right. God bless you and your marriage and your desire to just restate the things that are meaningful to you going forward. So I'm going to start with you ladies. You'll turn to your husband and then we'll go through this and then the husband will do the same. So, Jean, would you read this for the ladies? Well, actually, we'll start.
I, Jean.
Okay, so let's go that way. I,
Jean,
take you,
Bob,
to be my
beloved husband, to have and to hold today and through all tomorrows. I shall continue to be faithful to you, to love, honor, and cherish you in joy and in sorrow, in days of plenty and times of want. By these expressions, I hereby renew my vows with love and loyalty, as long as we both shall live.
Okay, gentlemen. I, Bob, take you, Jean, to be my beloved wife, to have and to hold today and through all my tomorrows. I shall continue to be faithful to you, to love, honor, and cherish you in joy and in sorrow, in days of plenty and times of want. By these expressions, I hereby renew my vows with love and loyalty, as long as we both shall live. You may kiss the bride. Would you stand together? I'd like to pray for these marriages and yours. Father God, I just pray your blessing upon these who restated their vows, those who are sitting, who are married, those who have lost a husband or a wife, those who love and those who care for others. Lord, help us to learn to love more, to love better. Help us to put the love of someone else before ourselves. And only when we love sacrificially can we love truly. Thank you because we know that that's the way Jesus loved us. You said, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. Help us to love in such a way that we'll be willing to do whatever we can to demonstrate that love for the people we love each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our closing hymn. Yeah, Jean wants to say a word.
I just wanted to say that Bob and I came to this church in September of 1979. It's about 40 years ago. I think we were married about 10 years at that time. And 40 years later, here we are. And I know that many of my dear sisters and brothers have lost their spouse. And you come to realize the blessings that you have if you still have your spouse. We heard of a prayer request this morning, Pastor Pratt. I don't know him, but I can't imagine the grief that he has today. But I'm encouraged that when we pass from here to the next life, we get to see our beloved spouse again if we're parted here. So I'm grateful for marriage, and I'm grateful for the beloved people that I know were spouses and have passed on. And there's a good ending, though. There's a good ending in Christ.
Thank you, Jean. Let's stand together for our closing hymn as we continue to celebrate real love.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.